Good morning. I want to echo Robbie's words. Happy Mother's Day to you moms. We've got a lot of ladies here who may not have children. And let me tell you, I've seen a lot of ladies who did not have children, who have taught Bible classes, who were great mentors, who were a blessing to children. And so in a real sense, in that way, what a blessing. You are a mom to a lot of kids in that way. I know that days like today, those of you who are proudly sitting by your mom, what a blessing that is. I know we have visitors here today who came just to be with mom. And so that's awesome for sure. It also can be a sad day for some. I recognize that today there are some sitting here whose moms are no longer here. And so days like today, kind of while they appreciate and love the experience at large, it's also somewhat sad. And so to you, we want you to know that our hearts are with you today and we love you. I want to talk a little bit about treasure today. Is that what you expected to hear on Mother's Day, treasure? So let's talk a little bit about treasure. I was doing a little bit of research and found out that I could actually go on some treasure-seeking adventures. Now, these adventures at large are different. Some, for example, one of the ones I found was seeking treasure adventures. This is in Utah, and you can actually go on this adventure of actually seeing natural beauty. So that's one of the things that they were referring to when they were talking about treasure. They were talking about natural beauty. I found this interesting story, I thought this was, in my opinion, pretty cool, from the perspective of seeking treasure. I found this story, and some of you probably have heard this before and you know it and you're like, oh yeah, I know that story. I actually came across this story accidentally. I found this individual who was out treasure seeking. He was arrested. He was indicted because he was on federal land at Yellowstone National Park in the cemetery digging up some of these graves, seeking this treasure. As a result, they got this guy, and I mean, they brought the hammer down on him. Well, I thought, well, okay, what was he really looking for? And I found out that what he was looking for was for Forrest Fenn's treasure. How many of you have heard of Forrest Fenn? Some of you have heard of that, right? Okay, is there anyone here who's been out looking for it? Okay, well, it's already been found, so just stop, okay? Don't do it anymore. But nonetheless, I found this, and it actually was found by a medical student from Michigan, and he found over $1 million in a treasure chest. Now, it was a lot of different types of treasures inside that made up certainly that $1 million, but I thought that was pretty cool. You know, we are enamored by seeking treasure. How many of you have ever been to Arkansas? Well, hold on, let me clarify that statement, okay? Because we have some Arkansans here in the audience. I was back there with Youssef and with Gail just a few moments ago, and I told both of them, I said, if Christy were here, because my wife is from Arkansas, and Gail and Youssef are from Arkansas, I said, would I be standing on holy ground if I was in your presence here? And anyway, so let me clarify the statement. How many of you have been to Arkansas diamond hunting? Anyone? Okay, there we go. Catherine says I've been there, okay, been there diamond hunting. Okay, so we're enamored with seeking treasure, right? It's just an exciting thing. What happens if you stumble across that one treasure that is worth an untold amount of money? How awesome would that be? That's, how many of you like, I call it junking? Anybody like going to flea markets and dig stores and you find that one thing? And that one thing is worth no telling what. I was telling Mike or Robert, one of the two, this story not long ago. I actually went to Goodwill. We like to go to Goodwill, and so we start digging around. Well, I found a really nice polo jacket worth about $100, and I paid $5 for it. On the same day, I found another polo jacket at another dig store. And I bought it for about five, or I think it might have been seven. I think I had $12 combined in these two jackets. I got home and I started cleaning out the pockets. I was going to wash them. And inside the pockets, I think it was about $55 total from both jackets. And I thought, some older gentleman owned these jackets, put his money from the store in his pocket, and then just took it down and donated it, you know. That was your jacket, Keith? That was your jacket? So the point is, we get excited, don't we? We get excited about finding things that have value, finding things that have worth. There's just the intrigue of the search. There's the intrigue of the treasure. Treasures are everywhere, whether we're looking at beautiful landscape or whether we're looking at things that have value in our eyes, whether we're seeking those diamonds in Arkansas, or whether we understand that there is treasure among us. And that is certainly true. You know, treasure is really everywhere. We even talk, don't we, in the way we talk. We talk about people who have great potential. What do we say? There's a diamond in the rough. You see, we even use it in our language. And a lot of times when we use that kind of language, we're talking about people. Well, have you ever thought about Jesus and treasure? That was the passage that Mark read a few moments ago there in Matthew 13, verse 44. And the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, and sells all that he has and buys that field. Here's a guy who finds a treasure in a field, but the field doesn't belong to him. And so he leaves the treasure there. And again, I think this is all in reference to Jesus in giving everything that you have once you find him for him. Okay? But here's this treasure that he finds in this field. The field doesn't belong to him. So what does he do? He goes and he acquires that field. Why? Because in that field there is a treasure of great value. Now, some people have looked at this verse and they've made a connection to Matthew 25. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but in Matthew chapter 25, you know, you have the parable of the talents. I know that most of you are familiar with the talents. We like to use that text and talk about personal talent. That text is actually a money text, and so to apply it appropriately, you have to talk about money. And you know that the talents were divvied out, and ultimately there was a guy who got one talent, and you know that when the master comes back and he starts to take an account of his talents that he's given out, there's a couple that actually have benefited and gained some talents as a result, except this one guy. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, and some people put this together. Now, I might be just a little bit trying to connect the dots where dots don't necessarily connect here. But some people connect this particular verse with this thought in Matthew 13, verse 44. Because what was very common in this particular time was that they would go, people would bury their money in the ground. I mean, you probably have grandpas, great-grandpa, you've probably got some family members who used to do that. That was a common thing. And so it wasn't uncommon that when those people died, whether they were going on a journey or they died, whether they went off to war, that they would come back and they would buy a piece of land. And once they had bought their property, they would find some great treasure on their property because someone buried the things that they considered valuable, whether it was money or some sort of thing that had value, they would bury it on their land. Someone would acquire that land, and there they would find a treasure. Have you ever thought about why the master in Matthew 25 in these verses, verses 24 through 28, is so upset over this one talent guy? And some people have tried to put this together. Then he, in verse 24 of Matthew 25, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Again, that's what happens with this guy in Matthew 13. He finds a treasure, a talent that's been hidden in the ground. But he said, I knew that that's the way you were and you had this talent hidden in the ground. Look, you have what is yours. Because he gave it back, right? But the Lord said, he answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown, gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. And some people have speculated, and I guess that's what it would be here, that what this one talent guy assumed is, I put my money in the ground, he buried it. What happens if the guy who went to a far country dies on the journey or dies on the way back and comes back and no one knows that I have the talent, it's been buried, well, then I can go and dig the talent up and it can be mine, wanting to cheat the master. Now, that's just one perspective. I don't even know if that's necessarily, but I find that it's interesting, these passages with talents and treasures are all throughout the teachings of Jesus. Do you know what comes right after Matthew 13, verse 44? Have you looked at verses 45 and 46? You have the pearl of great price. Who is that? Jesus Christ. You've got in Matthew 13, beginning with verse 45, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Is that how you approach your life as you have found Jesus Christ, as you have found His church? Did you give everything that you had for Him? Are you giving your whole life to Him? Have you sacrificed for Jesus Christ everything that you have? You see, that Jesus is teaching these parables, two back to back, about finding that thing that has great value, whether it's something that's buried in the ground or something that has been sought after and found by someone who is seeking for pearls. Again, I find this is just so beautiful when you consider Jesus and treasure. Have you thought about, for example, the treasurer in Acts chapter 8 who found a treasure? And what treasure was it that that treasurer of Queen of Ethiopia, what treasure was it that he found on his way going back home after having worshiped in Jerusalem? And if you understand the whole context of that particular story and you understand some of the restrictions from the Levitical priesthood, you would know that he went about a 1,500-mile trip just to sit in the foyer and not actually go in and worship because he was a eunuch. He was not allowed to. And here's this guy on his way back home on a 1,500-mile journey home. And according in Acts chapter 8, as Luke is recording this story, Philip goes up to him and he starts with Isaiah chapter 53 and he starts to teach him about Jesus Christ. And you know the story, the eunuch, as they come up on some water, he says, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" You know what this treasurer does after he comes up out of the water? He is so excited. He is full of joy. Why? Because he has found that pearl of great price. He has found that treasure that was hidden in a field, and he sells out for it. He has given his heart and his life to Jesus Christ, the pearl of great price, the treasure. Such a beautiful story that finds a treasure. So yeah, we've got Jesus and treasure, and we've got just the Bible and treasure with the eunuch who was in charge of the finances of Candace, Queen of Ethiopia. But have you thought about the treasure that's mentioned in Proverbs chapter 31? When it talks about the virtuous wife, a virtuous wife, who can find? Help me out. Her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. You want to talk about a treasure here today? I mean, we've talked about treasures in Utah from pictures of landscape. We've talked about hidden treasures from a guy who was an antique dealer who thought he would just send a bunch of people on a crazy treasure hunt for years, and he did, and someone actually found it. We've talked about treasures connecting with Jesus. We've talked about how the treasurer found a treasure, that pearl of great price. But I want you to know, when you have found a virtuous wife, you know what you have found? A treasure. Isn't that so true? Happy Mother's Day. You are a blessing. You are a treasure. And the only treasure in this life that supersedes you is that pearl of great price. Right? Now what's beautiful is that Paul, what he does is he links these two treasures together, doesn't he? He takes this pearl of great price, Jesus Christ, and he links it to the connection of his church, which he uses by way of illustration, the idea of marriage. And on the same ring, what he does is he brings together this beautiful ruby and this beautiful diamond in such a beautiful picture, such a beautiful setting. If you would, look with me at Ephesians chapter 5. And you'll see where Paul does this very thing. He makes this beautiful connection. What he says, beginning in verse 25, he says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." You see, Jesus has a bride. He has that virtuous wife. You know who that virtuous wife is to Jesus Christ? It's the church of the living God, the church of Jesus Christ. And this church is united in marriage with to Jesus Christ. Do you know that when you are baptized in Christ, you are actually united with Christ in the waters of baptism? And that you become a part of this beautiful bride, this church, you are the bride of Christ. And here Paul is connecting this idea of Christ and his beautiful bride with men and women in marriage. And he says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, because he who loves his wife loves himself." Why? Because he who finds a virtuous wife has found a beautiful ruby. And that is the picture that we have with Christ and his church. That's the picture that we have with husbands and wives. So today is a day where we honor Christ. We remember the great sacrifice, the pearl of great price. But today is also a day because Jesus has placed so much emphasis on his church and on men loving women and on women in general who are a beautiful part of his kingdom. He's placed a beautiful stone right beside that pearl of great price, the ruby. Two of the greatest treasures ever in this life, Jesus Christ and mothers. I tried to pick a whole sermon where I wouldn't get emotional, didn't I? And I about made it through it. But ladies, you are a blessing, a treasure, a beautiful stone in God's kingdom. And you bring so much beauty to this place. If I had to look at all these ugly men, this wouldn't be a good place to be. But you are such a blessing here in the Fulcher Church of Christ because of the value that God has placed on you. And we appreciate you. More than you will ever know. Happy Mother's Day today. But don't forget, this day and every Lord's Day is about honoring the pearl of great price. When you think about that beauty from every angle of the life of Christ, you will catch a glimpse of some angle of his life that will just shine bright to you. If you think about how he lived his life to honor his mom and his dad, what a beautiful life lived. If you think about the fact that just his coming was a way that he was telling his father that he loved him. If you turn him just a little bit, you turn that pearl, you see another, you catch another glimpse of his beauty. When you look at the fact that he lived an obedient life and followed the Word of God, he had a tremendous amount of respect for the Word of God. And when you look at his life, you turn that stone or that pearl just a little bit more. You catch a glimpse of the sacrifice that he himself made time and time again. And ultimately, at the pinnacle of his life, what he gave on the cross. And then we have an opportunity to see, when we turn it just a little bit more, how Jesus works in the lives of the people of his church, his bride, to do amazing things. And you know what we do when we turn it just a little bit more? We see that same selflessness. We see that same commitment to the Word of God. We see that same sacrifice lived out in the lives of his disciples. Today is a day that we've come to honor the King of Glory, the pearl of great price. And in just a moment, we will pause and we will reflect and we will remember Jesus and his sacrifice. But as we think about bringing this to a close, just look at that ring one more time and think about how beautiful it is because of those two stones that are set side by side, that ruby, the beautiful women in this church, Jesus' bride, and think about that pearl that sits beside it of great price. And what he's asking us to do is to wear that ring proudly, showing our allegiance, our commitment. If you read through the rest of Ephesians chapter 5, he starts talking about marriage and he says, let no one separate what God has joined together. You look at verses 32 and 33 and he says, well, what I'm speaking, I know this is a great mystery, but what I speak about is concerning Christ and his church. And understand that when he uses that language of let no man separate, he's actually talking about your relationship with Jesus Christ and not necessarily your relationship to your spouse. Although he doesn't want that to be separated either. But he does not want you to be separated from him or from his church. Because he's joined you together beautifully in Christ. And don't let anyone separate you from that pearl of great price. We're going to offer an invitation. Yusef's got a song that he will lead us in. Hopefully you've been motivated this morning to live your life faithfully to Jesus, to honor your mom today. And there's not a greater way that you can show her respect and love her than to step out in faith and honor that pearl of great price, the one that she has given herself for as well. You need to respond to Jesus to become a follower of his, a New Testament Christian, to be immersed in the waters of baptism, to have your sins washed away, then we encourage you to give your allegiance to Christ this morning as together we stand and sing.